The content provided by this podcast, Health, Wellness, and Community, is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. The host and guest, including Dr. Moore, who is a certified nurse practitioner, provides insights based on their experiences and expertise in healthcare and community matters. However, the information shared in this podcast should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnoses, or treatment, and is not tailored to individual circumstances. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for personalized recommendations regarding your health. Additionally, the legal aspects discussed are not intended as a replacement for legal advice from qualified professionals. Any actions you take based on the information provided from this podcast are at your own risk. To read the full disclosure, please see the link below. Thank you for joining us on Health, Wellness, and Community. Now let's get to today's episode. I'm back, and I feel like busting something. You know, like those COVID myths that are out there contributing to low vaccination rates and vaccine hesitancy. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Health, Wellness, and Community Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Quentin Moore. I'm back after a month off. Yes, went out to LA to visit family and then had some preparation for this upcoming semester to do. But now I'm back and I am glad to be back and ready to go. However, before we get started, if you are new to the podcast, we want to welcome you and invite you, your family, and friends to make this your one-stop shop on all things regarding health, wellness, and community. For those of you who already have been listening to us and are our old faithful folks, especially the HWC crew, we appreciate you taking the time and taking this ride with us. Also, for all of our listeners today, please take the time to subscribe or follow us on the podcast player of your choice, be it Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Cast, etc. And if you would like to be placed on our email list, send us an email to hwcquestions@gmail.com to become a member of the HWC crew. Yes, the world famous HWC crew. As a member of the HWC crew, you will be the first to know when our new podcast will be coming out. Now, let's get to the show. Today's show is about myths that are out there regarding the COVID-19 vaccinations. When you look at social media, when you look at the TV, there are all types of untruths that are out there about the vaccines, which are contributing to low vaccination rates and vaccine hesitancy. That is why I have chosen to address 12 of those vaccine myths. Let's get it. Number one. The vaccines were developed too quickly. Well, you know, we've discussed this in previous episodes about the coronavirus on this podcast. There are a multitude of things that contributed to the speed at which the vaccines were developed. When you look at it, this was an international effort. You didn't just have the United States and Canada doing it. You had the United States and their enemies working together to fight this pandemic. It was an international fight against the pandemic, an effort to try to defeat this virus. And in doing so, it opened up access to many resources for vaccine development. When you look at it, the funds that came to the vaccine development arena were astronomical. You look at the United States alone contributed $18 billion toward vaccine development. $18 billion. That's not counting what China did. That's not counting what England did, what France did, what Canada did, what other countries around the world did. That's the United States alone. So they had this huge pot of money to help speed up the process of actually developing these vaccines and trying to defeat this pandemic. Another thing was the new
messenger RNA technology. This technology helped speed up things. This technology is faster and cheaper than the old way. And when you look at it, many scientists actually say that the messenger RNA technology is the way of the future in vaccine development. No corners were cut. These companies who developed these vaccines had to go through every single step of FDA approval. No corners were cut. Another thing that sped up the process was the number of volunteers that actually came to the studies. In the past, during vaccine development, a lot of times they had to wait for volunteers in order to enroll them into their studies and so forth. With this pandemic, people were running to vaccine developers saying, please put me in your study. And this has never happened before. Folks were trying to get in the studies to try to help defeat the coronavirus. So there were a multitude of things which actually helped speed up the process by which these vaccines were developed. A number of things. And don't forget, the coronavirus, not this particular one, but the coronavirus has been studied for more than 50 years. So they pretty much had the basic structure of the virus and had been working with it for quite a while. So they didn't have to start from scratch. Number two. The second myth is that the vaccines will alter my DNA. When you look at the messenger RNA is a genetic material which pretty much kind of works like a computer code. That code tells some of the cells in your body to create a harmless spike, one that looks just like those on the coronavirus proteins. You will remember that in a previous podcast, I said that messenger RNA, i.e. the vaccines, deliver instructions to the cell on how to fight the coronavirus, right? You remember that? Well, this is what I'm talking about right now. Saying it a little bit differently, but saying the same thing in a sense. However, your cells only create that harmless spike that resembles the one of the coronavirus, okay? And it doesn't create the virus itself. If you look at other vaccines and how they were developed, in a lot of cases, when we look at other vaccines, you are given a vaccine that actually has some of the dead virus in it, or a watered down portion of virus in it, so to speak, layman terms, so that the body can build an immune response. You're actually getting part of whatever the virus or whatever the vaccine is made for. You're actually getting a portion of that. However, with this development, you are not getting any part of the coronavirus in your body when you get the vaccine. You're not getting anything from the coronavirus. You're getting the messenger RNA technology. And when the immune system sees the spikes, it gets a sort of preview of what the real virus looks like without causing any disease. And the immune system then takes those instructions and starts making antibodies, which recognizes the spikes from the coronavirus. And if you just so happen to get the coronavirus, these antibodies start latching onto the spikes and blocking them from attaching to any other healthy cells. Does that make sense? And once the messenger RNA has done its job, this is where you really need to listen. Once the messenger RNA has done its job, the cell that the messenger RNA is in then breaks down the messenger RNA and gets rid of it. It gets rid of it. Kaput, gone. It doesn't even come in contact with your DNA. When you look at it, messenger RNA and DNA are actually two totally different structures. These structures, they don't affect or interact with each other. The messenger RNA vaccines never enter the nucleus of the cell, which is where our DNA is kept. I'll say that again. These are messenger RNA vaccines, and the messenger RNA vaccine never enters the nucleus of the cell, which is where our DNA is kept. Therefore, the messenger RNA vaccines do not alter our DNA in any way whatsoever. Number three, we need boosters because the vaccines no longer work. This is incorrect. Okay. Waning immunity was cited as the reason for this. And some people took this as the vaccines didn't work in the first place. Well, first off, the vaccines have worked and the vaccines continue to work and do a very good job, a very effective job, even against the Delta variant in preventing serious disease, hospitalizations, and death. Now, the need for boosters is threefold. Okay. Number one, the Delta variant is not as well covered as the original or the Alpha variant of the coronavirus. So we get this booster shot. And once you get the booster shot, your body is going to make even more antibodies, which will help you fight against the Delta variant. Number two is after about 9 months, there may be some waning of the antibody levels in your system. And number three, the number of exposures have increased tremendously since the discovery of the Delta variant. Remember, booster shots are common in many vaccines. Many vaccines. In fact, hepatitis A and hepatitis B require boosters. MMR, which is the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. The Tdap, which is tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Varicella, shingles, pneumonia, flu, meningitis, and the human papilloma virus, HPV. All of those require a booster shot. All of those vaccinations require a booster shot. So it's not uncommon for a vaccination to receive a booster shot. Number four, the vaccine will protect you from getting COVID-19. Now, as I said in the past on some of my previous podcasts about the coronavirus, even though you have the vaccine, you may still stand a chance of getting COVID with a vaccination. However, the vaccine was developed to prevent severe illness, hospitalization, and death due to COVID. The vaccine was developed to prevent severe illness, hospitalization, and death due to COVID. If you're vaccinated and you get COVID, you may be asymptomatic or you may experience mild to moderate symptoms. Now, let me be clear. With mild to moderate symptoms, you can still be very miserable. Now, let's look back. Let's look back at the beginning of the pandemic where we didn't have the vaccine. Hospitals in Italy, New York, and other places were filled to the point that the healthcare systems were on the brink of a catastrophic failure. Unfortunately, when we look today, we are seeing similar circumstances with the huge numbers of unnecessary increased hospitalizations, severe disease, and death. Look at the news, or even better, drive by one of these hospitals where they have tents out in the parking lot as an overflow unit for COVID patients. And guess what? Most of the folks in the hospitals with severe disease on ventilators and dying from COVID-19 are unvaccinated. Unvaccinated. The difference is, at this time, we actually have a vaccine that can decrease the severity of the symptoms, decrease hospitalizations, and decrease deaths from COVID-19. All you have to do is get it. Don't talk to me about I can't afford it, because it's free. It's free. There's no reason in the world why somebody cannot get this vaccination, unless there's a medical reason that I don't know anything about. And if you have severe medical issues, you need to discuss it with your healthcare provider before you get it. Number 5. If I have already had COVID-19, I don't need the vaccine. Well, although an infected person has antibodies against the disease, these antibodies are not the same as the antibodies from the vaccine. In fact, research shows us that the antibodies from the vaccines are much stronger and last longer than those obtained from natural immunity, meaning that you had the disease. The natural immunity, the building up of antibodies after you had the disease. Just because you had the infection doesn't mean that you are immune for the rest of your life. And when you look at it initially, it was thought that severe COVID affected only older people and/or those who were immunocompromised. Now, with the Delta variant being present, those assumptions have been flipped, turned on their heads, slammed to the floor, stomped on. They're out the window. Okay. The disease now affects younger people, to include children who are being hospitalized in droves, record numbers, with pediatric cases reaching their highest levels since we started tracking them. If you have had COVID-19, if you've had it, nowadays, healthcare providers are encouraging you, people who have tested positive for COVID-19, to get vaccinated as soon as you are no longer contagious. Number 6. COVID-19 vaccinations affect fertility. As we look, and I did try to find something that said that it affected fertility, there is currently no research that supports this myth. In fact, during the pre-authorization of the vaccine, there were women in both the Pfizer and the Moderna trials who became pregnant. In fact, in the Pfizer trial, 23 women became pregnant. 23. And of all the women during that trial, one woman did have experience with pregnancy loss. But the thing was, that woman actually did not get the vaccine. That woman got the placebo. Also, when looking at pregnant women as a whole, pregnant women listen, or if you know a pregnant woman, you listen and have them listen to this podcast, or you go tell them. They are at a higher risk for developing severe COVID illness if they contract the virus. That is for pregnant women. Pregnant women. As a matter of fact, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine are recommending that all pregnant women get vaccinated for COVID-19. Number 7. We've been hearing about this in the news left and right. You can treat COVID with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and vitamin C. Now, there have been some studies trying to use these medications. However, when you use the highest level of research, which is a double-blind study, in these double-blind studies, these drugs did not show any clinical or clinically significant effects on COVID symptoms as far as improvement. So essentially, they didn't work. They didn't work. And then on top of that, there are the dangers related to using these medications. Number 8 is masks don't provide extra protection for vaccinated people. While there was a small period where the CDC said that vaccinated people didn't need to wear masks indoors, ongoing research has provided evidence that masks should be worn by all when indoors. Now, the Delta variant currently accounts for 99% of the strains at this time in the United States. If you are in a group of people who are not from the same household or in an area where you can't socially distance, a mask should be worn, whether you're indoors or outdoors. to address the misinformation about breathing in masks being harmful to the individual. You know, where they said, you know, the carbon dioxide, the decreased oxygen. It's a lie. It's a lie. As a matter of fact, I'll say it's a lie out of the pits of hell. Okay, so masks do not increase carbon dioxide, nor do they decrease oxygen. And there is no evidence that supports this. In fact, if this were the case, don't you think that folks who work in operating rooms would have suffered the ill effects of this by now? I'm saying surgeons, nurses, scrub techs, folks like that. The fact of the matter is, masks work. Masks work. They are safe for you. They are safe for me. They're safe for everybody, kids and adults alike. Masks work. They help prevent the spread of this virus. Number 9. I'm waiting for the FDA to approve the vaccines. Well, guess what? It happened on August the 23rd, 2021. The FDA gave Pfizer full approval. Full approval. When you look at Moderna, Moderna has applied for full approval as well, with an expected FDA full approval date sometime around October. Now, as for Johnson & Johnson, they have not yet applied for full approval, but are expected to do so here in the near future. Remember, all three COVID vaccines here in the United States were put through the same paces as any other vaccine that the FDA provided full approval to. Pfizer has already received it, and we have two more which are currently operating under emergency authorization, with one expecting to get full approval in October and the other sometime in the future. Number 10, I'm afraid of the long-term side effects from the vaccine. I hear you. I totally hear you. But let's talk about that. For as long as man has been developing vaccines, serious side effects are very rare and almost always show up within the first 2 weeks to 2 months. Did you hear that? For as long as man has been developing vaccines, serious side effects are very rare. And if something is going to show up, it typically shows up in the first 2 weeks to 2 months. When you look at this COVID vaccine, we first started administering vaccines for COVID-19 in December of 2020. So that's approximately 10 months. Over that 10-month period, in that time frame, 4.8 billion people worldwide have received at least one dose of vaccine. 4.8 billion. Given this time frame, given this number of people who have received the vaccine, if health issues related to the vaccine were going to occur, they would have most likely shown up by now, and you can darn well believe they would have been reported by all the major media outlets. You know they would by now. 4.8 billion people have received this vaccination to this point, and you will hear about something every once in a while. But for the most part, you hear nothing. And the reason you hear nothing is because this vaccination, these vaccinations are safe. Are safe. S-A-F-E. Safe. Number 11. I'm pregnant or nursing, and I'm afraid the vaccine will hurt the baby. I totally understand this thought. I totally understand it. But let's look at what the experts in this field state and what the research says. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine are now recommending that all pregnant women get vaccinated based on studies showing the safe use of the COVID-19 vaccination in tens of thousands of pregnant women over the last several months. Now, some newer studies go on to suggest, listen up, some newer studies go on to suggest that nursing mothers may provide some level of protection in the form of antibodies through breast milk for their child. So you getting vaccinated could potentially supply your child with an added layer of protection against COVID-19. Number 12. Now, this next one, it's the last myth that we're going to talk about today, and it's one that's near and dear to my heart. This one is those people who say, my faith in God will protect me. My faith in God will protect me. Now, as a Christian, I wholeheartedly believe this. I wholeheartedly believe it. I know that God is going to protect me. However, I also know that God has given humans the ability to reason. God's given us the ability to reason. He has given others the gift of healing. When we are sick, we seek treatment for diseases. That's just how it goes. You get sick, you go to the doctor, you seek treatment to get better. This is the same with COVID. You get sick, you go seek treatment, and you hope to get better. Now, we accept research-backed medical advice to help prevent hypertension, diabetes, and other conditions which could potentially cause death. So why don't we accept research-backed medical advice to try to prevent severe COVID disease, hospitalizations, and death? God heals. And a lot of times, he uses us as an instrument through which healing takes place. Did you hear that? God heals, and a lot of times he uses us as instruments through which healing takes place. God has given scientists, doctors, and other providers the knowledge and the skill to fight this disease. Take your personal feelings and politics out of this decision. Don't let misinformation cost you your life. Don't let politicians use you as a pawn in the game of life. Pray to God for the answer. God is in control. But you really have to seek him, number one. You have to ask him, number two. And this is the good one. You have to listen to what he tells you and then make your decision. That's all I have to say. As I end this podcast, I would like to ask each and every one of you, if you are not vaccinated or if you know someone who is not vaccinated, please share this podcast with them, share my other podcast with them, and please go get vaccinated or help individuals around you who are not vaccinated get educated so they can get vaccinated. That's the show. If you have any questions or concerns about this or future topics, shoot me an email at hwcquestions@gmail.com and I'll answer them as soon as I can. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast for more information on health, wellness, and community. I want to thank you for your support. And remember, as always, knowledge is power, but knowledge without action is useless. We provide the foundational knowledge. You build on it and provide the action. And HWC crew, get to moving.